Alvin AX, you are listening to another episode of the Shop Talk Show. We're into a brand new season. I'm Dave Rupert. With me is Chris Coyer. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks. Thanks, Dave.
And this new season is, of course, brought to you by our friends at Mitchell Toyota down on the Miracle Mile,
who is that doing right?
Their Toyota-thon. Yeah. So you got to get down there, use coupon code SHOPTALK at checkout for 10% off your brand new Toyota Tacoma.
Yeah.
We might good get deal. Sued if there's
10%.
A really. Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty cool. So what's going on, man?
Working on some new brand deals. Yeah, I'm working on some new brand deals, licenses, you know, kind of trying to get, you know, make space for it, you know.
So that'd be nice. Yeah, prove to the people that we can do it. I was always fascinated by that social media concept where I think particularly young people were like impressed by people that were sponsored. You know, if you're big enough, you have sponsors. So then they would take that to their smaller channel. They'd like pretend to be sponsored. That's so bizarre to me. But I kind of get it, I guess.
No, I think a Vercel sponsorship, man, how much clout would we have if we just had Vercel just saying, hey, guys, here's money, you know? Mm-hmm. And then if we had...
I will admit it says kind of the opposite. We don't have no sponsors right now.
We got
community. They ain't lining up. Just saying.
We got friends in the Discord helping us out. So appreciate
y'all. Absolutely. Our sponsors are our listeners. Thank you. Well, it's like PBS of podcasts, I'd say.
Of web development podcasts. Yeah, we're that. Let's be that. I can be
all
that.
All right.
I'm Grover.
Coming in hot, man. Coming in hot for the new year. I got 2 weeks off, so I was sick for like all of it almost. Like I had like,
oh no. You know,
I don't know. It was just, I think my body does this letdown when work is stopping, you know. My body's like, cool, dude, we've been holding it together. And now I'm going to just be dead for a few days. And then that happened before Christmas. And then I think I got the norovirus right after New Year's, which I do not recommend.
Holy buckets.
That one's like a speed run of food poisoning, the flu, and then a cold. And it's like, it's brutal, man. I do not recommend. So,
I'm sorry, man. That's awful.
It
I managed to stay healthy.
That's
but I don't, I take vitamin C, so I'm.
Vitamins, you go outside.
I'm sure you do
things
too.
Like that.
I'm trying to tempt sickness. I don't know. Feel like I haven't been sick in like 3 years. I don't know. There's something wrong with me. I remember a story that Miranda used to tell those. There, you know, I think she was in Chicago or Boston or something at the time. And there was a big snowstorm and everybody that was forced to not come to work. And then after that, because like you said, it's like your body like gets to chill for a second, then everybody was sick after that. Like legitimately, like you let your body relax and then boosh. Yeah.
I believe it. I believe in like let down is what I call it. I don't know if that's the medical term, but it's just like, you know, just this idea. Like you finally relax and boosh, you're toast.
Boosh.
Your immune system gives up. Well, Christopher, we're heading into 2025, a year of making websites, I guess. What's on your what's on your forecast agenda, year in review? New Year's resolutions for internet.
I got nothing really.
Yeah.
I just am not feeling that at all this year. Like, sure, it's a new, I mean, I'm happy to like get back at it a little bit. Trying to like kind of maintain the chill of, you know, I had a couple weeks off too and kind of didn't do much. Redesigned the blog, but I was kind of working on that a little bit before that and just kind of took the opportunity to push it out. But it's not work.
Right.
To me, that is purely recreational. I really get a kick out of it. It's like it's in the hobby category. I no longer consider that unhealthy. I think that's just fine. You know,
it is. It's there's a fine line between like I'm burning the same candle that does work. And then, no, that's a separate hobby candle. There's a fine line. Like, I think, you know. But
there is. And I mean, part of the reason is that like I have some other hobbies and stuff too, and a family and stuff. So it's like, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So that was kind of good. And, you know, we're chugging along on the CodePen alpha, trying to get to beta, have pretty clear goals and objectives there. So
nice. Exciting. Yeah. That's That's exciting. Yeah,
I mean, no promises. I mean, we're in this position as ever where it'll get done when it gets done.
I love that. That's a great philosophy. Just like do it right. Not, you know, like don't rush, do it right, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, there needs to be some kind of pressure because you can really lollygag otherwise, but it's better that way than the too much pressure. So.
Well, and y'all are kind of now in the alpha phase where people are seeing it and reacting to it. So you're getting different feedback than you were just
certainly
building.
We're at this early stage. Have you ever had this where you're like every single session is like you find like 13 things to do. Yeah. It's not one of these like, well, all right, that one was fine. Next, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Oop, sorry. Oop.
They're like, how do I open the menu? And you're like, I never thought of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah. I found that we just somehow forgot to put a new folder command in. Like there was a button for it, but you couldn't like find it in our main thing. And then there was issues with doing it as a free user. It was kind of thinking of it as a file. And anyway, all those little bugs get mopped up and they're quick to mop up. And then we move on, you know, but there's some chewy stuff left too. And that's fun.
Oh, cool.
So, push the new blog out a little bit. I was thinking about just as a general topic, I had a page bookmarked for absolutely forever called, I think it's called slashpages.net. You ever go to that?
Yes. I saw your post on it. Yeah.
Well, I just had a bookmark because I was like, I think this is so cool. You know, like the first, it's just a list. So I kind of like the design of the page because you're like, it just wants to encourage you to, it's like, let's say you own a personal website that slash X could be a particular topic. Like a classic one I think of is the uses one, which I didn't really realize was a Wes Boss thing, but high five, Wes. That was a cool idea. And that page could represent all the stuff that you use. What's your keyboard and, you know, all your nerd stuff, or, you know, what's your favorite guitar or tuner or key ring or kitchen knife or whatever, so that you can share that. Like that's a page. And then if lots of people do it, it becomes this little kind of phenomenon, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like that. And then I like the slash Chipotle.
I love that one.
That
one kind of blew my mind because I just love it. I could do it for friggin' every restaurant. Like here's here's every restaurant order I have. Man, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Like what a way to know somebody like Chick-fil-A or not Chick-fil-A, but like their Chipotle or their like, you know, I don't know what they get on their breakfast burrito or whatever, you know, just uh-huh. like,
that's, just that's be something.
Like, I don't even need to talk to you. I can get you your favorite thing. You ever do that thing where you're like, you know, somebody's going through a hard time or something and you're like, I want to send a gift. Right. But then mm-hmm. you're like, but what food allergies and then what do they drink? Do they do this? You know?
Yeah.
It'd almost be cool to be like, slash care package or something, you know, like if I ever enter a situation,
if I'm down and out, you know what to give me.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Slash self-care.
Another big one is slash now, which is the, like, it's different than your about page. Is your about page is probably something like, this is what I care about and a brief summary of my career or whatever you want to put there. But now is like different because it's like, what am I literally doing right now? I would be like, I am, you know, doing a podcast mm-hmm. with Dave every week, and I am working on CodePen with all of my professional focus. And, you know, maybe that's all I would put, or I'm playing downtown at the Cellar on Wednesday nights, you know, that kind of thing. So it's now, and then that can change. And so anyway, I can scroll up and down the slash pages list and look at every single one of them and be like, I like it. And then I started on one or two of them. And then I was like, when I get done with this, though, like it just kind of sits there on the thing. So there's this one problem with it is that, like, I don't think anybody's going to see it because it's not being syndicated because mm-hmm. it's just kind of a page. And that's kind of the point of it. And another problem I had with it is that it's transient. And I think there's ways to solve that. But it's like, I don't know, my uses changes over time. Maybe even my Chipotle will change over time. I don't know. So why shouldn't I just write up a blog post that talks about the things I'm using right now? And then 2 years from now, I'll be like, oh, that was a fun idea. I'll do it again, which is similar to the, what is the thing that's happening right now on the web? Like all the software people, default software or whatever it is. Yeah,
default apps 2025 or whatever.
So that has, for whatever cultural reason, has a blog post vibe to it. People are writing it as a post, whereas like it also, that also easily feels like a slash page.
Yeah.
Anyway, I talked myself out of doing slash pages and I'm just like, whatever. To me, they're just blog post ideas.
Yeah.
But I'm almost reconsidering my opinion all over again because I saw this other post by, it was like a Robin Rendell post who was crediting Chris Armstrong. It's about digital gardening, which we've talked about before. But in Robin's post, he's like kind of talking about, like could a website, you know, a personal website or any website really evoke more of like a wiki thing than a blog posty thing, which to me was like, I don't know if it's a light bulb, but a little bit, because I'm not sure I'm like ready to move on it or anything. But of course, had me thinking about my CSS tricks days and all that and how we would write about a topic over and over and over and over, especially over a long period of time. And it made me think, what if instead of 9 blog posts that dance around a subject or whatever, or approach it in different ways or whatever, there was one page like a wiki with all of that information combined. Like, wouldn't that one page be much more valuable than 9 pages?
Yeah. I mean,
even though they happened over time.
I think there's like a, what's the latest, right? A lot of tech is like, what's the latest, right? And Wikipedia has that, but one other way to do it is to publish new stuff, and that is the latest stuff, you know? Like, you're not like, dude, what are the top 5 latest Wikipedias that showed up, you know? No one's thinking that, but I am thinking like, what's the top 5, you know, top last 5 Chris Coyer posts. I am thinking that. So
yeah, exactly. There's not, my thinking is not complete on it, you know, but I could see bringing that to somewhere. Like if I was in charge of, I don't know, web.dev or something, is there a way to like make topic based pages not this afterthought? Cause that's what they tend to be. You know, they have to be like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, it's like the homepage of a tag. Like nobody goes to those. They don't care. But to have the true entry point for something be just more valuable than it is. Because I've kind of proven that, and that, you know, like I can't, if somebody thinks of CSS tricks, what they're really thinking about is the Flexbox guide. And it's because it was this big post that covered all the stuff about Flexbox. That's what people liked. And we proved that over and over. That was not just a one-off. When we did a huge, big guide, it tended to be worth more than the sum of its parts, you know? But that's just, that's, you know, the success of a publication. What does that mean for something more like a personal blog post? Not sure. But certainly, I used to write about working in public a lot, you know, like where is a good entry point for that? I don't know anymore. I don't have a good single URL to share. So now it feels like the information is scattered and confusing rather than together.
I wish, I still have a dream, and I've kind of started it, but I not really, to like blow out my tag pages, like to literally every tag I use, like the core 20 or whatever, like blow them out. Like, this is a topic I write about and care about, or like, you know, I have WordPress as a tag. It's like, this is a topic I'm not an expert in anymore, so I wouldn't even consider these. But this is, for historical context, this is stuff I've written about, you know?
Yeah.
I would love to have like big blown out, almost art-directed pages for tags, you know? But it's, you know, that's, again, time versus me sort of situation, but I don't know.
I love that idea, by the way. I think you're right on about that. I have this is like a little secret dream at CodePen that I'd like to do, is have, I at one time, I don't think this name is going to stick or anything, but it's stuck in my brain for now. It's called blessed tags, where there's certain tags that are just more important than others. And that would be an opportunity for us, I think, is to use the same URL as a tag, but some of the tags, because already we have tag pages on CodePen and they just say what the tag is, and then they list all content that has that tag below it. Very simple, but there is some value to those pages because they can be sorted and searched and stuff. in different ways. Like you're looking at like a taxonomy of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what if you took a really important one like view? Mm-hmm. That tag means more than like rainbow does.
Right.
I like the rainbow tag too, but view's a kind of a big deal. Like what if you, when you got to that page, it, you know, it showed you a lot more information about Vue and its usage on CodePen. It showed you templates. It gave you information. It showcased some, you know, hand-picked ones.
Last five videos or something. Yeah. The Sarah Drasner article or whatever, you know.
Yeah. I'm not sure what we would do, but I can think of about 20 things to do. So it's not a limit. It'd be like, what is the best thing we could do on a particular tag page like that while benefiting from what a tag page already is and how users think of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd
love to, make web pages, man. I like the slash pages just generally, just going back to that. If you don't know what to write, here's like literally 20 pages you could make to your website and, you know, like you could just add this right now. I have a few of these actually. So, you know, like,
yeah,
I have like the about, I have a uses, I have a links or, but I don't think that was one they, oh, they do have links, haha, which is like my saves from Feedbin, you know? So,
yeah. Oh, you have all these already or you have some of them?
Some.
Fun. See, how would I know that though? Do you look them up?
I need a better footer, probably is the answer to.
Oh, yeah, you do, man. Blow it out. I love footers. Getting nasty.
It's kind of tucked in my about section right now. So,
I see. At least there's something. Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, it's like a little sub nav thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I always feel weird. You know, I used to like blog rolls too, but it's like, then I feel weird about like, I don't know, putting stuff in there that everybody's like, oh, you read Kottke? Wow, neat, you know? Like, yeah, so does everybody. He's amazing, you know?
Right.
And then leaving other people out or whatever. I don't know. I just feel weird about it.
People ask me, you know, when I talk about RSS, they ask me like, oh, do you have a list of feeds? And I'm like, I don't know that my list of feeds is super helpful for you.
But yeah,
here's some, you know.
Yeah. I have notably shared mine, but it took me a while to do it because I went through and cleaned up all kinds of embarrassing weird crap in there, or, you know, who knows, like random GitHub issues I was subscribed to, or who knows, you know, just, and even then, I don't know.
Shime Vidas has a list of like 10,000 developer blogs that actually super worth like perusing. You know what I mean? Like if you're like,
yeah,
am I missing somebody? So anyway.
Yeah. Perusing is probably the right way to do it. To suck them all in at once, I would be very worried that people would just become immediately overwhelmed and bail on RSS, and that the real value of it, unfortunately, comes over time and curation. And sorry, you know, this is kind of the nature of the beast.
A lot of people, I was like, dude, I'm following you. And then like, it's like they talk about Java and I'm like, blah,
that's
like, okay, no shame, dude. It's cool you do that, but I'm out. I appreciate you. So I'm
pretty happy with my setup at the moment. In fact, I'm trying a new one, and by new one, I mean, I always use Feedbin because to me, it's weird not to, because of how long it's been around and the fact that of such good API support it has. I've never met a new RSS reader that I wanted to try that didn't support syncing with Feedbin. So for now, I've been actually, maybe that's not true. Isn't Reader, doesn't R-E-E-D-E-R on the iPhone like release some new weird version of a reader? And that had no sync with anything. And I was like, yeah, well, then I'm out.
Did they? I didn't.
Maybe it was or something else.
But they do. Release a new one, it's like a whole new cut or whatever. So
well, I'm happy. But so the new one I'm trying is because I'm very happy to just use the Feedbin website. But there's some part of me that I just like trying new stuff. You know, give me a new app.
Yeah,
I'm just very fickle that way. I'll always end up back on their website probably. But I use NetNewsWire for a while. There's some, you know, as a Mac guy, it's Mac-y or whatever. So I liked using that okay. But I think I like this one that's just called Unread.
Oh.
A little bit better. I think it's the design of it is really nice. And it has this feature where like, because sometimes I read RSS like a, I don't know, kind of like maybe it's not healthy, but like in between tasks or something, like my brain just needs a break. So I click the unread thing and it opens up. It shows me a list of poets. I click on a few of them and just see what it has to say and star it or send it somewhere or just move on or whatever.
SSS.
Yeah, sure. And then I close it. And then if I click to open it again, those ones I already read are gone. And that tiny little piece of behavior, I really like. It feels like I'm kind of chugging through it. And none of the other ones really quite work that way.
And the neat thing about like Feedbin is you can actually go back in and be like, oh, actually, show me all the ones that I just read or like actually show mm-hmm. me all the feed, all the articles. Cause I actually wanted to star one. I actually
yeah,
skipped
all
or something.
Tab. So, yeah. Yeah. This can be so, quite useful.
It's nice. Yeah. No regrets on Feedbin. So yeah,
it's still a good one.
Still the best
I get
one.
People have their own preferences though. Rock and roll. What was I going to say? Do I have an interesting one? Yeah. Just to say something about the old internet. I knew this in the back of my head somewhere, but it took Stephanie Eccles re-pointing it out to me that there was this resolution in the CSS world where, you know, container queries, you have to use that container property or container type and container name, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And when you do that, that they loosened the restrictions. That used to force a new formatting context, which has all sorts of implications.
Okay.
And now it doesn't. They said, it doesn't have to do that anymore. So it just doesn't by nature. But that change is like a little dramatic. It just changes stuff. And you can't test for it, you know, because it's just like this internally thingy.
Under the hoodie kind of.
Yeah. You know? And so Safari right now still does force a formatting context, but Chrome and Firefox do not. And I just think that's an interesting place for the web to be, that there's like these cross-browser differences, but there nobody's like really at fault. There's nothing, you know, to complain about other than that it's obnoxious, but you can't write code around it. It's just like a messy little spot to be, and you just got to deal with it.
Yeah, I think like my problems are few, right? But then, you know, sometimes I'm like, what was I looking at the other day? Anchor positioning, you know, I think, I forget who said it, but it was maybe Agalia, somebody at Agalia was saying, you know, anchor positioning in Chrome is now, anchor positioning in Safari, 2025, Firefox, ? Maybe 2026. And I just was like, dang it, man. Like
a little rogue speculation from a source like that is scary because you got to assume they're probably right because of their deep experience with working with browsers. And yeah, when you see 2026, you're like, cry. Yeah, but, for something like that is so, we're so looking forward to.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, because we're sitting here in this app called Riverside to record this. And when you pointed out to me that there are, I don't know, 25 anchor position things on this very app, and that it's not that unusual of an app. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. And just for years, we've just been like, oh, people can figure it out. And they have, but it's like through gallons of JavaScript, you know? So,
yes. Or DOM that you're forced to do in such a way. Like you're like, oh, this tooltip needs to be there. So I'm going to just jack this thing right next to it in the DOM because I have to, so that's what I'm going to do. You know, I don't think people think of it any differently. Like most developers are like, oh, it has to be here because that will solve the positioning problem, then I'll put it there.
Yeah.
Like the end of thought.
But imagine you have your nav buttons and then you have just a hidden div basically that's called flyout menus. And then they just live independently. Mm-hmm. They're not even related, you know? You just wire them up. What a world. What a world we'll live in.
Yeah. Well, you had I don't think you've talked about your diagnosis much, but you've been pretty public about it generally. So is that something you are thinking about?
Yeah, I've been I got the ADHD, Chris, that Brad Frost really scooped my story, but that's fine. love Brad. No, it's funny. It's like a diagnosis is like something that you're like, it changes very little because like I already knew it wasn't a great situation, or like it wasn't like a I wasn't the most focused person, you know. But then, but a diagnosis is helpful because it's kind of like I can be like, cool, now I understand why I feel this way, or I'm having trouble focusing, or I'm like kind of hyper-focusing on something like that. So
does it feel pretty textbook then? Like when you read the symptoms, you're like, that be me.
Yeah. I mean, they have it down to like a 6-question questionnaire basically. And I was like 5 out of 6, you know? So that's a B. So, but anyway, but anyway, that it was kind of like, I think it's sort of like just say, you know, what can you, you know, now I'm in a position where I can get tools to help. And so I was taking a medication called Qelbree, which is, you know, it's like non-stimulant, like most Adderall and Ritalin, and those are like stimulants, and those have like an instant effect. For they're based, not to get too like whatever, they're basically speed, and that's why they're regulated or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're like, or they're an amphetamine base, but they have like an instant effect, and they in ADHD brains they kind of don't trigger like, you know, the classic methamphetamine sort of response. They trigger sort of like a feeling of focus. You know, you would think like, don't give the hyperactive brain the speed, but it works opposite than what you'd think.
Yeah, I just thought that was really funny that that drug is particularly popular if you don't need it.
Yeah, right. I had neighbors who were like, I guess they probably had ADHD now that I'm looking back, but you know, they would just be like, dude, we need to clean our house. So we just took Adderall and we cleaned our house. And I was like, that's interesting approach, man. If that's how you do Saturday, that's interesting.
Yeah. Sounds like a pretty nice little Saturday to me. Not that I'm like encouraging too much drug use, 'cause that can be a real problem for people. But I remember college. I would do that crap once in a while and I felt pretty okay about it. You know, look at me now.
Look at me. I'm doing things. But anyway, so I was prescribed a non-stimulant called Qelbree, which is like slower acting and that was okay. Like, and I definitely felt something different. I felt like it was kind of like a, you know, if I walked in the house and there's just crap everywhere because my daughter decided to turn all her chapsticks into one big chapstick or something like that, you know, that didn't trigger me on the Qelbree. Whereas previously I would have been like,
ooh,
I'm going to lay down. Like I have to close my eyes. That's the only way to escape this situation. And then, and another thing, it was sort of like, if there was a job that needed to be done, it was like easier to pick up and do, you know, like I think a common like ADHD symptom is kind of overwhelm, you know, and you're kind of like, oh, if I like start doing that, then I'm going to like have to start like redoing my room. You know, if I clean my room, I'll have to start redoing it. And then I'll have to like, you know, change the light bulb, go to the hardware store to get a screwdriver, you know, sort of thing. You know, anyway, so that was a net positive. However, the like sad thing was one of the side effects was insomnia, man. And so hit real bad with that. But I read a bunch of sci-fi, so that's a positive.
Yeah. Oh, it was so – I always think that, you know, not that reading is the ultimate solution, but I don't know. There's like a great Shang Wang bit about this where you're like, I don't have insomnia because I have – a book, you know. That works for me. I'm like, I'm gonna read this book, and I'm like, and then Frodo said to Gandalf, you know.
No, sometimes that was the trick, but you know, but I also read like 600 pages of sci-fi, so you know, maybe a lot, you know, like but you know, it's okay. I think we're gonna adjust the meds and try to get back on track. But, you know, I just kind of, you know, some people have like on the stimulants have a very night and day, like, okay, yeah, this is different. You know, I'm activated, you know.
Whereas, you gotta sleep though, man. That sucks that why is there always trade-offs? What is this, web development?
There's gotta be trade-offs, dude. I don't know. So anyway, that's kind of the deal. It's interesting. Brains are fun. Brains are unique. You know, if you have a unique brain, I would go get it checked out, you know, go talk to somebody and, or feel you have one.
Amen.
It's worth talking to somebody, but it's just, you know, I don't know. It's that thing where you're just like, this is maybe harder than it should be. Or I don't think most people sit around and just kind of like, you know, overthink this situation, you know, like they don't have to walk away from their computer 5 times for a PR review or something like that. You know, you're like, I bet most people don't do this. They could just read a whole PR review, you know? So
interesting. So you think, yeah you're going to come out better, probably be on pills for the rest of your life?
I don't know. I mean, I'm, you know, it's kind of like I've gotten this far and I'm feel okay, you know, but I kind of, it's just kind of this like, and maybe it's work pressure. Maybe it's the fact that I have good healthcare. You know, it's kind of like, could I like see the other side of the coin where like, what does a medicated brain do to me? Does that make sense? Like, how does that change the equation? You know, do I feel
like
better?
If you knew, then you could choose.
Yeah. Like I've had years of coping and masking skills that I've built up, you know, like productivity. I have a Kanban for my blog, Chris. Like, you know, like yeah. I have a lot yeah, of coping yeah. skills built up over the years. Tons. Probably too many even. But like, but what would, you know, a medicated brain do, you know, like, and would it help? Would it be like, would I be able to like be better in the evenings with my time or something like that? You know, would I, you know, stuff like that. So not be so wiped out from whatever kind of brain engagement I've been doing. So
brought to you by the Toyotathon.
Yeah. Thank you. Mitchell McMitchell. Over on the Miracle Mile.
Well, you had another good blog post that I said I was quite jealous of because I am, because I've never heard anybody say it so succinctly, but it was called CSS Wants to Be a System, which is one of those blog posts that like it's very interesting to read. And also those, you know, 6 words are pretty freaking meaningful, you know?
Yeah.
To have this technology that's so important, that exists, that people write tons of, that's so unopinionated. It's, you're right, man. It's just begging you to come up with your own thoughts.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I kind of, I don't know where it came from. It's probably just like tokens. I've been in a big token project, but you know, it's just this like, you know, so we're defining the tokens up here and then these tokens consume those tokens and they produce this output, you know, or we have a series of fallback tokens, you know, from like, mm-hmm. like this optional token that could show up in this like default token. And, you know, even that in itself is just this like little system, you know, it's like this cascade of styles. Even just the idea of a whole cascade is like, I'm going to say something up here, but at the bottom of the file, it could be totally different, you know? Or, you know, the only system in CSS is the weird power ranking algorithm, the selector power rank, you know? But, you know, and so that creates its own sort of like now these are that's the only rule almost of the system. And then, and the other rule is if the browser doesn't understand it, it won't show it, you know? So now you have to figure out like, how do I build this system to where this works? But then not only does it work and solve the design, but how does it work across different browsers? How does it work on a phone? How does it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to roll in with some philosophies about stuff like that. It also gives you this ability to arbitrarily name things, which is also, in my opinion, just begging you to please have a system for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't care what it is, but just have one is what it's saying. That's what the tool pushes you towards.
Yeah. At a certain point, you're going to have either you're going to repeat yourself or you're going to need to divert from a class that you've used, you know, like somebody, your font weight bold and now somebody wants semi-bold. And so it's sort of like, what do, you know?
Yeah.
And it sounds silly, but, you know, that came up yesterday. It was like, oh, what if I needed to have bold text here? Could we do that? And it's like, we could maybe support support that? You know, of course you can, but like, you know, the does B tag is awesome for that
system.
But does it work in the system? You know,
I like what it says about human psychology too. And that if you come into this highly unopinionated world and you tame it and you feel like you've done that and it works, you know, you've thought of a naming system. You've thought of general philosophies. You have this system could be very different than mine or yours, but it works for you. That there's a certain kind of person in the world that raises their sword and says, "I have done it.
Yeah,
listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to tell you the system. This is the system." And there's other people that might have just as, you know, if there's a way to measure them, just as good of a system or something, who just doesn't feel that way. They're like, this feels messy to me and maybe it works for me, but I'm sure as hell not going to write a blog post about it, that kind of thing. That those are like, the outcome can be the same and the people can be different.
Yeah, it's just different flavors. I mean, even, you know, we talked a few shows ago about like CSS resets, you know, different ones, you know,
mm-hmm.
like Jake Lazaroff had one, Andy Bell has one, Richard Redder had one. And so like, Eric Myers, of course, you know, from right. famous, you know, but like, what's interesting is like, I can read these and I can react to them, you know, like that's just a reset button.
I absolutely love it. It's so fun.
You know, but I can read it and be like, ooh, do I like that? Ooh, is that interesting? Ooh, will that create a problem down the road? Maybe, you know, like what's this system built on?
Right. Cause they're always opinionated. That word, I'm using that word very clearly here because they have stuff in them that goes above and beyond the word reset. You know, I think Eric Meyer tried to at the time be like, I am only going to like undo things, not hit his head problems, it, you know, whatever, but it's probably the most famous one, but you know, it had its own philosophy. The only one I think that really held true to absolutely not having an opinion was Normalizer. And then I think that got forked or something into another one. I can't even remember all the details right at this second. I'm sure I've written it many times, but it had this philosophy that it's like, it is not going in here unless there's a cross-browser difference and that we can document that cross-browser difference. And that's what the point of this style sheet is to fix those cross-browser differences. If there isn't one, it's not in here. Whereas every reset I see recently, and just, you know, 95% of them have stuff in there that's like, yeah, but you should just do this other thing too.
Yeah, like margin top zero on all your headings. That's stupid one. But, you know, but some people are like, margin top only. And I'm like, what? And I'm don't hire those people. Just kidding.
Dude, I can't. Yeah. I'm not a margin top guy
margin
myself.
Top people. Margin top people drive like this. Beeper, beeper.
Well, it just gets me every single time you have a card. You have a card, you have a wrapper around it. It pushes the header down too far from the card. I'm like, I hate it. I just can't even.
Adds a lot of.
Margin trim, though, to the rescue. I'm definitely going to put that on my CSS 2025 kind of wish list. It already exists in Safari.
In Safari.
So the wish is not that it exists, that it's just cross-browser dealt with. But it's really quite beautiful in that way. If you said on your card, you said margin trim, you know, inline or block start, I guess, or top, that it would slice off that margin that pushes it away from the top because it's just not necessary there. That's what margin trim does. Really cool feature, I think. Because then you know, I hate to admit, but it benefits you margin top people in that particular way. And for the rest of us, it slices off that bottom margin that we're forever, you know, selecting the last child or whatever and trying to pull that off when things are in a container. Great little feature.
Yeah. I was going to say is, can I use text margin trim? Is that what it is? Trim?
Well, the trim one is the one where it's like cuts off the weird unknowable space in character sets.
Yeah. Okay. So that one, yeah.
also great and related.
That's what I was thinking. Sorry. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, that's wonderful. No, margin trim is different. It's that, like, let's say you had...
It's the don't do it on the top of this one, right?
So yeah, you set the direction and say, cut off any margin in this container that's like pushing against that side.
Yeah. Oh, that's
because, beautiful. You know, you have five paragraphs inside of a container. That last one is going to push a little too far away from the bottom of that container. So you have to select it and remove it.
Right.
Margin trim, you don't have to select it anymore. You do it on the parent. So it doesn't matter what element is down there doing that pushing, because the temptation then is right, like P last child or whatever. You know, it's just some kind of selector that is more brittle than you might want it to be.
Yeah, it's just noisy too, right? But it's better in all circumstances if you can add things at the parent. Yeah.
Add things at the parent. Yeah, that was my thinking was that if you have padding in a direction, you should set margin trim in that direction too, as like a general rule.
Sorry, blog post idea. You're going to get scooped though. You'd have to move fast. Just
I blogged
all
that like a year
properties ago. That control children. Like, I mean, cascade is kind of one thing, but like specifically stuff like this, like that try to like control the children.
Mm-hmm. That's what made Flexbox hard and Grid better, if you ask me, is there was so much stuff on the child in the on the children in Flexbox. Yeah.
Flex shrink, flex grow, flex basis, flex one.
It's just literally
whatever
impossible.
Flex one does.
Yeah,
it's shorthand,
but it's the one you want to use.
Flex 001 and flex one.
My memory around that one is there was like a tab in Elica thing where they're like, you really want to use the shorthand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there was if you didn't, there was some stuff that didn't get set that.
Oh, no.
Was wrong.
I was going to say Chrome 133 is going to have that text box trim that I was talking about that slices the top and bottoms of like a line of text.
Yes.
Like the extra line height, the like phantom line height sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to mouth blog, but this one is equally a big deal for alignment reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone's ever set a button, it's you have a button and you type text and you say padding top or padding block, let's say 6 pixels, right? And you have like 5 pixels on one side and 7 on the other. And you're like,
yeah,
why did that happen? How do I fix this? And you don't care. You just push it out. And then your designers start showing up and they're little monocles and they're like, you know, magnifying glasses. And they're like, clearly this is wrong. And
dude, I'm monocle guy. Yeah. I'm guilty of the top minus 1 pixel alignment strategy.
But you're like, I don't know how to fix this. So I'm just going to do line height 0.9 and bingo, bingo. Doesn't work. Still doesn't work.
With that gut wrenching feeling that you're only fixing it for you and your browser. Yeah.
And then there's this big SAS thing like cap size where you put the font and the line height and then you into a machine and then you like, shim, 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 and do some negative margin-y stuff.
I don't even know how does it even work? Like I've always felt those numbers were like baked into like the font information itself. Like how does it dig in there and even know what to do?
I don't know. I don't know how it measures. I think that, well, there's a whole font metrics API or something like that now, but I think that's part of it is like now you will be able to get values like a cap height and a X height from the font metrics. So
yeah, maybe that's all it needs. Maybe it's simpler than I'm making it out to be. That's cool.
Yeah. But anyway, it's very cool. I mean, it really changes how we've been doing things.
You do wonder though about, you know, like there's all kinds of exotic, you know, defonts out there that have like a J that goes 5 lines down with a curly Q on it. You know, like,
yeah.
What does it do to that?
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, there we go. Let's text box trimming Bleeding Cowboy, an essay by Dave Rupert.
That's a hit blog post.
All right, I'll get on it. Shoot.
Oh my gosh, that's good. Great.
Put it on boost. Boost. Get ready.
Well, I had an M1. I'm speaking into an M1 laptop. I have a Mac Studio. That's how I roll at work. The little cube.
Studio.
Yeah.
You have to say it like
no
that
regrets
every time.
Still. Oh, yeah. That's brand awareness right there. Studio. Don't hate it. It's nice, but I have a laptop as well because I need to be mobile and work at coffee shops and travel and all that. So kind of like two main machines. I do, mm-hmm. It doesn't give me a superpower really, but I do like that it forces good hygiene of files and Git and everything, because I really almost equally work on the two machines.
Yeah,
it keeps my dev environments really clean and all that. So good hygiene that way. That was M1-2, and I replaced it. I got the M4 Pro. Whoa. I didn't go Max. I notched it on, because a lot of times I have a bad habit of like buying a little too much computer that I need, and it's really true. Like, I just don't need a huge GPU. I will play zero games on this thing, you know? I notched it down to a kind of a much more affordable zone, because I feel like the difference between a really specced out laptop, you know, like if you like pick the highest GPUs and CPUs and stuff, really blow out the price and for a somewhat trivial increase.
Yeah, or like a machine that, you know, it's I don't know. It doesn't need to be super, you know, like, or like if you have the studio, especially, right? Like this doesn't need to be your Bitcoin miner, you know?
Yeah. Like I export video once in a while. Sure. I want that to be fast. Yeah. But it's just not paramount. So yeah, I didn't go super weak or anything, but much more notched it down than I normally do. And I was kind of curious, how does it affect web development work? Which is, you know, let's be real. It just doesn't. You know,
really
barely. Yeah. I mean, whatever, mm-hmm. JavaScript, single threaded, all that stuff, you know, like it depends on your behavior. Like, are you a 900 tabs open kind of person? Do you never quit your apps? Do you, you know, there's all kinds of usage questions that might come up, but I did pit it against our dev environment. Cause it's a little, you know, CodePen's a decently beefy. There's like, I don't know, 10 ish Dockers in there, you know, it's tmux. So there's, you know, I don't know, 15-ish panes split across stuff running. You know, it's like that stuff is kind of multi-threaded, you know, like each Docker is a thread, certainly, right? Like, I don't know. There's like things that can take advantage of the chip. And it's, you know, it is noticeable. I think I got about 20-25% more speed in spinning up the dev environment for us on the two machines.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. You know, is it absolutely amazing? No, but you know, so I don't know, like was it an absolutely mandatory update and I'm blown away? No, but you know, it's a work budget, so you use it.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's the black one, right? Or did you go?
I went black. Hell yeah. I went black.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. 14, and nano 16, texture. 16.
I'm a 16 kind of guy, I'm afraid.
Yeah. So I have two laptops. So I have the work one, which is an M3, and I'm desperately trying to keep it a work machine. You know, like I want my church and state separate, right? Like,
sure.
And so I am trying to keep that very work machine. And then I have an M2, I think is what it is, MacBook for that, you know, I use for Luro and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's great too. It is. I think, you know, I'm starting to see the age on it. Like the battery's going faster, you know, like the health monitor says it's at like 85, but
yeah,
boy, it just slurps the battery down pretty fast. So, so I'm trying to be like, do I need to upgrade that or like, you know, cause I do like to have a separate machine, but you know, I don't need two machines, stuff like that. So
yeah, it's hard to think about.
Yeah. Dumb.
We'll used to have one in the booth, like a real old little MacBook Air that's just still sitting around here. And that's how I know I like a 16, because that thing is so little that once in a while I'll grab it. I keep that sucker updated too and run to the coffee shop with that. And I, you know, I like that it's small, but then I try to do stuff on it and I just find myself immediately frustrated by the screen size.
I kind of dislike the 16. It's too big, and the 14 is just like personal. It feels zesty. Feels fresh and zesty. I love it. So I'm like, you're my little pal, and we're going to write little blog posts, and we're going to be happy. We're happy. It's like the old plastic clamshell iMac or MacBooks, you know?
Yeah, I don't think I ever had one of those, but I remember them clearly.
They're like the white MacBooks, you know, the little, those were, I don't know.
Quite the era.
Yeah, giving me some like texture sensations, actually, thinking about it, because ASMR sort of like, I don't know. It's like, but it's like browned from the exhaust fans of the Intel CPU just burning through the plastic. Anyway, good times, good times. Mm.
Well, we're coming up on the end, but I might as well just do my last note. You know, I was working on a little code pen the other day and writing in Pug. I don't think Pug is particularly popular in the world anymore, but it's a little bit popular on CodePen because it's like, it's having an HTML templating language is just kind of nice sometimes, particularly in like, I don't know, people are like, I need 30 divs. Yeah, you can use Emmet and you can type div times 30 tab and you get 30 divs. Cool. But it's not very adjustable then. Now you need 22. You got to like count 8 of them and delete them or something.
Yeah.
Whereas Pug is kind of nice. But in the language of Pug, which gets processed in Node, if you just put a dash, that means, all right, you're writing Node now. So you just type dash space, I don't know, const divs equals 22. Now you have a variable that's 22 that you just have now in the context of when it's going to process. It will do nothing by itself, but now you can use it. So on the very next line, you do another dash, you can say, you know, for I equals one, you know, just write a for loop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then under the for loop, you just type div, because that's how Pug works. It's like, you know, H1 makes an H1 tag, div makes a div tag, all that. It'll just produce 22 divs then. But that number is now controllable via variable. So that's nice. You know, it doesn't come up that much in like ultra real world web development, I think, but it does sometimes. And you know, then I don't know, you can do stuff with that. You know, you can set view transition names or something because you have a loop now. Yay. Yeah. You know, it's not JSX, but it's, you know, whatever. It's producing HTML. Well, now you have set that variable. You can also say just script. And now you're like writing an inline script. And in that script, you could say, I don't know, window.size equals interpolate the variable size that I just set. So that's okay. 22 now. And you can also write document.document.document element.setProperty --size equals interpolate the variable size. I just think that's interesting that all of a sudden now you have one variable in one place and it's available producing your HTML, it's available to your JavaScript, and it's available to your CSS as well. And there's just something, I was just a little heartwarming about it. It's like, one place for a variable, how nice.
Imagine a world where we all just did that. Where all our variables just did that. So
yeah. And tokens, whatever.
One day, param, object param. That's no.
Sounds like a don't new do podcast.
It. Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap it up here. Thank you, dear listener, for joining us on this 2025, whatever season 14 or something this is, voyage. We really appreciate something. It. Thank you for downloading this in your podcatcher's choice. Be sure to shard it up and join us in the Discord, patreon.com/shoptalkshow. And Chris, you got anything else you'd like to say?
Shoptalkshow.com.